It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. On this weekend show, we're pleased to be joined in studio by Tom Haglund, who is the general manager of the Tuolumne Utilities District. Mr. Haglund, thank you so much for coming in.
My pleasure.
Well, I want to talk first about precipitation. We had a little bit of rain this past week, but I have to imagine you'd like to see quite a bit more before the end of the season here.
We would like to see a lot more. It's been obviously a very dry December, January, and so far it's looking as though February will be dry. February can be a dry month, but our concern is for the amount of snow that we end up getting up in the high country. We need something on the order of 15 to 20 inches of snow water content just to ensure that Pinecrest and Lyons reservoirs fill and spill. And so that's a pretty low amount of total snow. So we remain cautiously optimistic that March and April will produce that amount.
You know, as we're sitting here right now, how close are things when it comes to being able to fill and spill?
Well, fortunately, both Pinecrest and Lyons reservoirs are at a higher level of total water than they otherwise typically are. So Pinecrest has about 10,000 acre feet of water. That's about 55% of capacity. It's not unusual for this time of year Pinecrest to be down, say, as low as 4,500 to 5,000 acre feet. So the fact we have that much water being held in Pinecrest is good. It'll take less snow to snow melt to fill and spill Pinecrest. And then Lyons is at about 3,800 acre feet, which is about 69% of its capacity. But again, we need to be able to rely on some adequate snowfall to fill those reservoirs and spill them. And we, of course, want the spill, the amount of water going over through the spillway at both dams to last as long into the summer as possible. The sooner that we have an end of spill really implicates our total water picture through December, and if it's early this year, that may be a reason that we would have to ask for conservation measures.
Is there a certain target date that you kind of always look for that you try to get past that date for the end of spill?
July 1st is a great date to get past.
Also, I want to ask you a little bit about, we've talked kind of in years past about TUD wanting to have more water stored in Pinecrest Lake kind of during the off season and talking with PG&E. Did anything come with those past discussions?
Yes. So we have been, for the last 2 years, having regular monthly consultations beginning in September of each year and lasting really through about April, gauging what we have from the a snowpack, what we can expect from PG&E operations and how that implicates the total amount of water both in Pinecrest and Lyons. And those conversations go very well. PG&E has been an able partner in wanting to ensure that we have enough water for delivery to our customers.
Can you explain to you just a little bit more about, for people who aren't familiar, you talked about Pinecrest and Lyons, just exactly how TUD gets its water and how it's stored?
Sure. It's really fairly simple. So we rely on our water supply to come from the South Fork of the Stanislaus River watershed. And that watershed is fairly small. That watershed feeds Pinecrest and Lyons Reservoir by water flow down the South Fork of the Stanislaus River into those reservoirs. We need an adequate snowpack each and every year to ensure that those reservoirs will spill, or will fill, and of course we prefer them to spill for a while as well. If we don't have an adequate snowpack and those reservoirs don't fill, let alone spill, we would be in for some very tough water months as we got towards the end of summer and on into the fall, it would be pretty difficult. So our water picture, our watershed resets each and every year.
Tom Haglund is joining us on this weekend's Motherlode Views, Tuolumne Utilities District General Manager. During this first segment, we're talking quite a bit about the current water situation in this dry winter that we've had to this point. And for those who aren't familiar, too, can you kind of give us just a little bit of a crib notes kind of history on the ditch system and how the water is then transported?
Sure. So our main water supply comes from directly from Lyons Reservoir. There is the Tuolumne Main Canal that is just below Lyons Reservoir, and PG&E transfers water into that main canal, and it flows down towards Twain Heart, where we have a turnout called the Section 4 Ditch. And that's the beginning of the TUD ditch system. There's another ditch system. The Tuolumne Main Canal continues past Twain Heart on towards Columbia, where we have another turnout at the Columbia Ditch, as well as we have a turnout at Power Creek that feeds water into the Phoenix Reservoir. And those three main turnouts really form the basis of the ditch system, which is 72 miles long and transports water along ridgetops and in a circuitous route onto all of our water treatment plants. And so we maintain that ditch system to ensure the free flow of water and to ensure that the water is preserved and protected as much as possible through that ditch flow.
Has the district been looking at ways to kind of increase overall efficiency in the system itself to try to increase water supply?
Well, we have, and one of the programs that the district has long employed is a ditch system maintenance program. And as you can imagine, these ditches first initially constructed back in beginning in 1850 or the 1850s anyway, they're mostly earthen ditches. And they require a tremendous amount of annual maintenance. Sometimes they spring leaks, and we have to go in and figure out ways to plug those leaks and to prevent them from recurring. And so that entire maintenance program really is what we rely upon for the efficient flow of that water. The ditch system has very limited piping in it, meaning that some segments from one section of ditch to another may need to be piped, but those are very, very small sections. Most of our 72 miles is open ditch.
Is it rare for a community to have a system like this, or do you see them in other parts of the state?
You see them in other parts of the Sierra foothills, yeah.
We're talking with Tom Haglund on this weekend's Motherlode Views. Also want to ask you on that issue of kind of increasing water supply, are there other things that the district's looking at right now to potentially increase the water supply?
Well, we are doing our best to stay abreast of potential funding opportunities that would allow us to perhaps establish other side stream storage, for instance, in these funding opportunities would come to us from the state of California. As you may recall, Proposition 1 provides a tremendous amount of funding for the establishment of reservoirs statewide. It's just that establishing a reservoir of any size is a very complicated and time-consuming process. And the other thing that we're doing that I think, especially for the Jamestown-Sonora area, that will help reestablish an amount of water is the Phoenix Lake Rehabilitation and Restoration Plan. We're intending through that effort to reestablish on the order of about 300 acre feet of water that's been lost to siltation over time.
Need to take a break. We're talking with Tom Haglund, TUD General Manager. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. We'll continue talking about more water issues on our second segment of Motherlode Views.
It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.